Hey there, this is the Hello Personality Podcast, the place where you'll learn how to use your personality type to live a radically authentic life that ignites your potential and creates positive ripple effects for all of those around you. I'm Leslie McDaniel, and this is Season 4, Episode 6. And in this episode, we're continuing our series of interviews to explore the intersection of the Enneagram and emotional intelligence. This episode will continue with the next heart type, a type 3. Remember that type 3s are in the heart center, just like the type 2 that we had in the last episode. And that means that their understanding of the world comes through having an emotional read on people or situations and a connection to emotions, either their own or others. Now, type 3s can have a difficult time accessing their own emotions, because they tend to avoid their emotions. They tend to get in the way of their accomplishments and their work and getting things done. So type 3s may really struggle to identify what they're feeling and what's going on in their heart. The emotional passion of type 3s is self-deceit. Now, you might see in some places that this passion is listed as vanity. However, for our purposes, we're going to use Oscar Achazo's original descriptions of the passions. He was essentially the originator of the 9 ego types, or the 9 personality types that we associate with the Enneagram. And just as a side note, if you're familiar with Claudio Naranjo's role with the Enneagram and developing the subtypes, he was the one who switched these words about 20 years or so after he initially learned from Achazo. So anyway, for our purposes, we're going to use self-deceit as the emotional passion. And this is the absence of veracity, which is the virtue or higher emotion for type 3s. And it basically means truthfulness, being truthful about who they really are. Vanity, then, is what we would consider the fixation, which is more of a mental issue than an emotional one. If you're not familiar with what a passion or a virtue is, you can check out Season 2, Episode 3 for more information on all the types. Okay, so our Type 3 guest is Janet Watts. Most of Janet's career has been in leadership positions in the energy industry. However, her private interests have always focused on how we manage our personal energy. She has studied archetypes and spirituality with Carolyn Mace for more than 20 years. In recent years, she has been working intensely with the Enneagram. Janet's subtype is self-preservation type 3, which is actually the countertype for 3s, and we'll talk a little bit about that in this episode. So what it means is this subtype goes against the natural flow of self-deceit in certain ways. So it can be hard for these 3s to see themselves as 3s, especially when the stereotypical 3 that is often described is really the social 3 subtype. It's often said that self-pres 3s have vanity for not having vanity. For all countertypes, though, and that includes me, I'm a countertype as a self-pres 4, but all countertypes still struggle with the passion of their type. It's still there. It might just take a little longer for them to observe it in their lives. The self-preservation 3 is going to be a little less out there with their desire to have their accomplishments recognized or to show the world a particular image of themselves. If you've been following along this season, we're talking about the intersection of the Enneagram and emotional intelligence. However, if you're just now joining us, welcome. Thank you so much for listening. So when it comes to each Enneagram type and emotional intelligence, we're looking at the unique type-related strengths and struggles each type might have in 4 areas. And those areas are self-awareness, their ability to self-manage, their social awareness, and their social or relationship management. Now, I may not point out each of these areas directly in the interview you're about to hear, but see what you can learn from Janet's relationship to each of these aspects of emotional intelligence. If you want to go deeper into these aspects, check out episode 1 of this season where I go into a little more detail. As with all of our guests, Janet has willingly put herself in a very vulnerable position to share her inner and outer growth work with us. So let's honor this willingness to share her life, her growth, and her struggles with us. Whether or not you're a type 3, you can use this conversation with Janet to discover some things about yourself and thus increase your own emotional intelligence by growing in self-awareness. As you listen, tune into what you can learn from your body, your heart, and your mind. Notice what sensations come up, identify how you feel about various things that she says, and pay attention to any thoughts that come up. And also notice which one of those things is easiest for you. Okay, I'll be back at the end to add just a few more thoughts on our conversation, but let's go ahead and dive in with Janet. Hey, Janet, welcome to the Hello Personality Podcast. I'm really glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to this conversation and getting to know you better as well. But the first thing I'd love to know is just, how did you get started on this journey of inner discovery or of inner work in your life?
Well, I think that started over 20 years ago, really with, I used to study with Carolyn Mace, and how that kind of aligns with my today's growth work is it was so much about who am I? What archetypal energies are within me? How do I manage my energy? Do I empower others or do I keep that empowerment for myself? And so over those 20 years, and I happened to be walking the Camino de Santiago and just started getting curious about the Enneagram. And so my last 6 years has been a very deep, deep dive into the Enneagram.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So the question of who am I, it sounds like, was one of the big drivers, or some others you mentioned, but one of the big drivers to kind of dive into some of this work. Is that's true for you?
Well, I think that was the first kind of wake-up call for me, even though I'd been doing a lot of work on kind of my archetypal energies. It was the one that really kind of stopped me in my tracks, because the identification for the three is identifying with everything out there and trying to particularly model those individuals that are successful in the world and kind of adopt those characteristics for self instead of getting more familiar with who self really is. And so once I saw that pattern of, projecting confidence, projecting success, I had to really start looking deeply at, well, who's on the interior of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Mentioning the defense mechanism for threes of identifying with that view of what other people think is successful or what you want other people to see you as. And adapting, of course, being a huge piece of being a three. Often when someone starts down this path of figuring out who they are, there's often a moment or an experience or something that prompts them to do that. Was there anything like that for you?
I don't think there was an exact moment, but, my career was more in the corporate world, and I think after 20 years of that work, I found it more difficult to go along with the company line. And I think it was that struggle of, why can't I just force myself to do this anymore? Kind of like, what's wrong with me that I can't adopt this image anymore just because the company wants me to? That really kind of kicked off that deeper look.
Mm. Yeah. Was there a sense of internal dissonance or anything like that that prompted it as well? Or just a sense of like, I can't do this anymore, and not really knowing what the reason was?
I think it was more, I really approached it more as an exploration. Like, I was kind of excited about, I started first with my emotional world with, what am I really feeling? Because I was so used to putting on a happy face or being positive or congenial. Mm-hmm. And so as I really started examining what else is in there besides this positivity, then I started to get curious. And it was less about dissonance than it was about While there was some of that, because I'd be smiling and maybe really angry on the inside, it was more about inner discovery for me.
Yeah. And what drew you to that part of the inner discovery, being excited about what else there could be about you?
Well, I think I'm drawn. I've been a seeker my whole life, and I'm very much drawn to knowing thyself. And I'm just very aware the more of this work I do, the more it's almost like my being expands, like there's more being, there's more energy within me. And so, you know, there's a lot of suffering with seeing one's shadow and doing this work. But on the flip side, there's more, you know, there's more of a energetic force of goodness to on the flip side of the suffering. So it's to me, if you're a natural seeker, it's just logical that you would do this work.
Yeah. It almost sounds like, I don't know, from my perspective, it's like maybe you want more of that when you experience that expansion or that sense of there's more available to you than it breeds a desire to have more of it. Is that true for you in any way?
Oh, I am so hungry. I am so hungry for the authentic more of, you know, how to hold more light, how to have more being, how to be all I can be in this lifetime.
Yeah. And how do you distinguish that, I guess, from some of the type three patterns of wanting to achieve and wanting to, I'll just leave it there. Like how does that feel different than the type three pattern?
Well, I think there's some similarity there in terms of there's still a hint of ambition. There's still a little bit of that need to expand, like almost like the ego expansion of the three, but more of it is a longing and a love and a just a deep desire. And, you know, I don't think I really allowed myself to desire as a three for most of my life. It was more of a mechanical, I can get this done, I can get the next thing done. I was more on a treadmill. And so to actually feel that inner longing and desire is pretty exciting to me. And so in that way, it's different.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely, you know, speaking of emotional intelligence, being able to be more aware of some of the other emotions that are going on inside of you and what's going on at a deeper level, getting more in touch with you and feeling that inner longing for something more, it sounds like, is what's one of the pieces that's driving you. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you could like take us back just a little bit and compare and contrast, you've done a lot of work, it sounds like, and you understand your patterns and yourself well. Like, what was it like before when you were younger? Maybe you didn't understand the disconnection that you had with your inner world and your true self. How was that version of Janet different than the version that we have today?
Well, I would say it was, you know, that the external person might not really notice a difference. I would say it's more of a difference in feeling tone, because I was more on automatic. You know, I was just driven to be successful. From, you know, high school on through college, there was just never any doubt that, you know, I was going to get A's and I was going to, you know, succeed and excel at my first job. Today, I would hope that there's more of a feeling tone, to that the being and doing are more merged, and that that it's just not automatic and I'm not wearing a mask. I would say I wore a mask. In fact, I can remember back to pictures, or I can look at pictures today of 5 and 6 and 7 years old, and I was already wearing a mask. It was not just the mask so the camera couldn't see what I was feeling, but it was really an internal mask as well. I don't think I knew what I was feeling. So today, my kind of my measure is more about staying connected, you know, asking myself, you know, where's the authenticity here? Where, what's true speaking through me? And not measuring when I speak, not measuring it against how's it going to land and whose feathers are going to get ruffled, but rather, you know, first asking myself, does this need to be said? And then just being relaxed about what I share. So big differences, I think. I hope, you know?
Yeah. It was really interesting when you started answering that question, you kind of went to an external measure first. You said, I'm not sure that other people would notice, but then you did go into your own perspective of what's different for you in your inner world. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I find that my work today is really not, yes, I have to have my ear to the like atmosphere in terms of what's going on around me, but really not staying internal and not putting my focus on the receiver, but really, you know, having 80% of my focus internal and what's going on internally for me instead of caring about necessarily how is this going to be received.
Yeah. Does that feel like, or does that seem like to you that 80% focus on your inner world, that it's getting closer to the virtue for the three of veracity rather than the passion of self-deceit?
Well, I think it's all about that. I mean, that is my practice to keep nudging myself to that veracity. You know, I can think of times I still maybe don't have the courage to, or I'm still discerning, like, is this something that needs to be said or not? But it's only with my awareness that I can tell what's going on internally and what, you know, checking in with my heart for truth. And if my attention is, you know, scattered external to me, I can't really know it. So for me, the first step is in the knowing and looking at it honestly.
Yeah, I love that.
And then also it's the secret to me for the path to healing. You know, when I notice what's going on internally, and if it's a heavy energy or a lot of negativity, that's my path to really doing inquiry and finding out where did this come from and, you know, how can I heal it? And so that awareness is key to, I think, so much of the Enneagram work.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the inquiry, and for the person who doesn't understand what you mean by that, can you explain a little bit about what you mean? Like, how do you get in touch through inquiry and figuring out what's going on inside?
Well, I think it's more about bringing the intention inward in a very relaxed state and just exploring, like, what's really going on, you know, because there's multiple levels. You know, I can first say, oh, my stomach's getting tight, and I can notice that. But then I might also notice that, you know, my neck's heating up and that I'm starting to get a little bit of a headache. And then I can ask the next question, well, you know, why is that happening to me? And you can take that, you know, many, many, many levels to really get into a greater awareness of the experience rather than, oh, I must be getting angry, and I move on and I act it out. For me, it's about staying with, well, you know, where's this coming from ultimately? And have I felt it before? And, you know, is there something can I allow more of it in a place of presence as opposed to rejecting it?
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned sort of that first level, getting in touch with your bodily sensations, really, and slowing down enough really to notice that, and then going deeper layers and a deeper layer to get to understanding of where that's coming from. and what it means for you. And I would imagine for a three, like doing that work takes incredible, I don't know if the word is focus or concentration or effort. I know you said, you talked about being more relaxed. So what is that like for you? Like, is that, do you feel like it's very contrary to your nature or has been to do that kind of work?
Oh, it's the opposite of, I wouldn't say it's the opposite of my nature because I think my nature is to be.
True.
Yeah, but it's the opposite of how I've trained myself. And all those words you described, I think, pertain. I think for a three, slowing down is one of those key ingredients. I'm not sure one can go deeply into the work without making the space and time and having the energy to fight ego, like to resist ego in doing the inquiry.
Yeah. I think what you're talking about here is that ability to self-manage and to know kind of what your patterns are. Like I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep moving fast. And you have to set an intention or make intentional effort to slow down and to do this work.
Well, I was going to say that, like, you know, particularly with shadow, like when I've just seen myself say something that's very self-inflating or would, you know, say something that would be judgmental of someone else so that I can feel better about myself. The only way I know today to do is to go into that. And, you know, almost always, you know, the threat for me is that I haven't filled my well with internal love enough to hold that. Mm-hmm. And it's just a, you know, it's a reaction to needing to be seen and needing to be noticed. And I do that at somebody else's expense. And then it makes me very sad. And you know, I hold all of those feelings and then just try to expand my awareness so that I can be with it all. And then I'm not so inclined to do it the next time. It's got a little less juice. Mm-hmm. It's got a little less of that ego inflation the next time I try to do the same thing. And it is hard work.
Yeah. But I think hopefully that's hopeful or inspiring for the person who's listening who maybe they are a three. And if it seems very difficult at the outset, what you're describing is that maybe it gets a little bit easier each time, the more you reinforce those new ways of being. Does that feel true for you?
Well, I think the other, I mean, there's multiple rewards. I can't begin to describe how kind of in love with this work I am, because my body today, compared to 6 years ago when I started this work, is a totally different experience. Like the relaxation that has come from this work, the ability to breathe, the ability to think and breathe at the same time, the ability to feel grounded instead of afraid. It's just the rewards are multitudes more than the effort. And you know, we can only do so much at any time. So I very much pay attention to, like, you know, okay, I've done some work, I need to come up from air, you know, and just enjoy the flow of life.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about your being concerned about energy and energy management as well. And it sounds like being able to give yourself a break is part of the work too, knowing that it's time to take a breather. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's room for it all in this lifetime.
Yeah. I think the fact that it is a lifetime, it's a lifetime of work, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something, and I would imagine a lot of threes would want to maybe check it off the list and be done and maybe move on. Have you ever encountered that in your life of like, oh, I just wish I was done with this? Or has it been continually exciting to go deeper and deeper into your work?
Well, I think the first couple years was more like, you know, I was counting the stepping stones, you know, of the journey and had that three impatience. And somewhere, you know, probably 3 or 4 years into the work, I started to be more enthralled by it and quit paying attention to, because there's always more. So I quit paying attention to where am I in the journey, because we go forward and we go backward, and it's a circuitous experience. Just looking at the Enneagram symbol itself, it's kind of like we journey to all of the energies. And so I quit measuring, and I'm just thankful for my experience today.
Yeah. I think what you're describing, I might call curiosity, like developing curiosity and using that as a way to just explore what comes up and being enthralled, I think you used the word, excited about what you see and what is available to you, all the while not placing judgment on what you observe or what's left to do. How does that resonate with you?
Well, it resonates a great deal. And I think curiosity for any of the types is a really important place to be, because I continually realize I don't know what I don't know. So what is, holding the bigger questions, the unanswerable questions, I think are part of the work. I mean, once I started to get a better sense of who I was authentically internally, then I started to realize, well, but I'm really not even that. I'm the observer, observing me making these decisions and doing these things in my life. So that expanded my awareness even more. So it's just, I think the Enneagram symbol itself is a generator. I think if one is sincere with their intention, that the Enneagram has a mystical ability to continue to present the self with opportunities to discover and grow. In 6 years, I've never been in want of that next thing to work on, or that next thing to ponder, or that next thing to celebrate. So I've been really shocked that way, that it's just kind of like a mystical path.
Yeah, it's like you mentioned earlier about new things coming up for healing. And if we'll just notice and observe and pay attention, life itself is a mirror and can reflect so much to us that is coming up in our own lives for healing.
Absolutely.
I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, and that was that getting in touch with who you really are inside, but then realizing even that that's not who you are. So I was wondering if you could unravel that just a little bit for the listener and explain, like, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think when I am truly present, that it's not just about being embodied and having an open heart and a quiet mind. It is also about having an awareness of all of that. So it puts me in touch with the stream of consciousness, that I'm not just this vehicle that I can see and touch and experience. I'm also, the consciousness that observes this. And it really puts me more in touch with the mystery of life and how much bigger and how, the flow of consciousness. I mean, as a three, for me, it's all about recognizing the flow of life and consciousness and being part of that instead of trying to be separate from that and special in my ability to be competent. It's more about feeling that flow of consciousness and knowing how to contribute to it, be part of it, yield and surrender to it.
I picture it in my own life of being an observer, like sort of up here, people can't see, but I have my hand up here and sort of like being able to observe all things at the same time, including myself and my patterns and what's happening with me, and then seeing my connection to everything else around me. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. It's the larger context within which we operate, but it really I think it's really something that when we start to do be aware of that consciousness, I think we're closer to having a real soul and being more expansive and, you know, really, I think it gives a person a better chance to choose the path of goodness. I can't explain that, but there's just something about that level of awareness that transcends survival.
Yeah. More important matters.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit more about your subtype of self-preservation three, because most of the time when people think of threes, they think of a stereotype of three, which is usually like a social three. They're much more out there with their desire to be recognized, and all threes want that. But I'm curious if you can give us a little bit of insight about how self-preservation three relates differently to the passion or some of the other aspects of a three, and how some self-preservation threes might find it difficult to find their type.
Well, I think that the self-pres three can be difficult to find the home base of the three, because all the while they're wanting to be special and succeed and be seen, they're also denying that. Like they don't want it. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of like being more great ingratiating about it, being more like, oh, I really don't want that award. You know, it's more of a, there's a fake humility about it. You know, you don't really want to be seen as, be seen as being that vain. And so there's still very much a me focus in terms of the instinct, and it's all about me. In fact, like I just recently heard somebody describe, you know, some people often say threes are narcissists, and I wouldn't use that word, but they're like can be very utilitarian in that. Ultimately, other people, you know, are being used for the purpose of reflecting back who we are. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say that self-pres is much more subtle about that. Like you can't necessarily pick them out of a crowd because they're not flaunting their successes or are not overtly looking for that being the countertype. They're much more subtle about it, but it's still there. I mean, there still are, their ego needs that success and that competency in order to feel okay about themselves. And I had trouble really, I think I read the complete Enneagram first, and I was very confused about my type. And it took me a number of months of just sitting with things. And the first time I read the complete Enneagram, I thought, oh, well, maybe half these things are true about me, or maybe, you know, 4/10 of these are true about me, these characteristics. And then the couple years later, I read it again and I thought, oh, well, more of this stuff is really resonating. And a year ago, I was writing a paper and I read it again and I realized, oh my God, all of this is true about me. And yeah. So my willingness to own the attributes, I love being a three. There's so much lovely about it, but the shadow is pretty is pretty dark. And so both my parents were ones, and so like I have done a lot of work on the one passion and deceit as well, and defense mechanisms, because I just picked those up from the atmosphere of my childhood. But I'm not really interested in perfection. I realized, particularly in my work world, I just wanted the customer to be happy. You know, it was more about the success in the customer's eyes than it was about that this was really, you know, a product that was of a certain ilk or standard. And then I realized that when it came to tension in the household and family holidays, that I quieted myself, my nervous system down by doing. As long as I was setting the table or making a meal or out taking a walk, I was much calmer in that atmosphere, and that the doing is now so much part of my nervous system that that's part of the habitual way of being in the world. And I realized I'd landed on the three.
That deepening awareness of your patterns and reading once and then, oh, some of this maybe, and then a little bit more and a little bit more. I think that's true for a lot of types, but especially for the counter types. Because as you mentioned, there's that push-pull relationship with the passion, and that it's there, but you also don't want it to be there, don't want it to be known, or don't want to admit it in a lot of ways. I'm continuing to see my patterns and seeing how they come out in new ways, and continually learning. It's like what you described earlier, being like, it really enthralled with the process. For me, I have to be a little bit careful as a four, because it's like, oh, tell me more about me. You know, let me just continue to dig into that more and more and more. But as far as, yeah, seeing the deep meeting awareness of your patterns, I think it can be really difficult for counter types, is what I'm trying to say, to see themselves in the description of their type. So you had talked a little bit earlier about your relationship with other people and how, you know, threes can be very task and goal oriented, and even in relationships with others. And there can be a sense of like ingratiating yourself to others, or I'll just say kind of using people in a way to get to their goals. Now, threes, I think, would not all be aware of this, like that this is happening. But I'm wondering if you could tell us just a little bit more of how you became aware of that for maybe threes who are listening to try to observe it in their life.
Well, I think the awareness for me has come through really experience. I think, you know, many say that the three has the empty heart, and, you know, as I've worked on really exploring my heart and allowing it to stay open, encouraging it to stay open, and noticing all that it holds. And with that experience, it's really shifted how I view other people in my life. I mean, it's totally shifted that. Mm-hmm. So it's more through the experience of feeling the tenderness and the, you know, holding other people's sorrow and being sensitive to who they are in the room as an individual, as opposed to, you know, 8 years ago, I would be sensing who they are in the room so I could better get my product on the table or, you know, win the point I need to win. It was more of a self-serving awareness. And today it's more of a true noticing and caring, and a whole lot more compassion.
Yeah. Did that compassion start with you then? More self-compassion? And then it was able to breed into your relationship with others?
Well, I tried to start with the compassion for, in fact, part of what drew me to the Enneagram was the sense of this, like, you know, understanding that my perception of things is only 1/9 of reality. And then starting to have compassion for myself, because, like, you know, all these other people that I thought were so screwed up and didn't have a clue that they had just a valid perception of reality. And so for me, that was just this hard moment of, oh my God, what I thought was truth is not necessarily true. And the challenge for me was, because of just the tension of the household and all the things that growing up meant for me, I really was not able to keep my heart open. And so it was a long struggle of just working on presence to get to the point where my heart could stay open long enough that I could feel for the other, like, you know, it wanted to close in defense. And so I realized that if I was really going to have compassion for others, I had to heal more of myself so I could stay open and aware of what was going on for the other And yes, they may be saying something that I think is condescending, but just holding that space for them as they're experiencing how they interpret life. So it's not been an easy journey.
Yeah. I want to talk about your heart for a second. We've touched on it a little bit, and you mentioned earlier making space for all that your heart holds, or keeping your heart open. And as a three, you are the center of all the heart types. And so I guess I just want to ask, like, what is it that all of your heart holds? And what does it look like when your heart is open?
Well, I think there isn't, I mean, my heart holds all of my true authentic experience. I mean, it holds all the emotions and the potential and the hopes and dreams and inspiration. I mean, it's vast. And I think for the, as threes do their work, there is a stillness to that being the center point of the heart types, you know, because being a heart type, there's a natural distortion that comes from this heart center. It may be our strongest center of intelligence, but there's also a distortion that comes with that. So, you know, as at least as I've worked with it, what I find is that the key for me is being able to see my own light. And it's not about those things out there that I'm accomplishing, and then being able to see the light in others and the value in others. So it starts with me being very grounded in my own meaning and value. And so I would say that's at the very core of what I hold in my heart. And then, you know, everything else that I experience that comes through the heart is just my experiences and part of who I am.
Yeah. For a three to get grounded in their own meaning and value. I mean, like you said, like that is the core of it, because that's what you're trying to get, right? With all of your accomplishments, with all of the accolades or the attention, searching for or trying to get, fill up that space that feels void of value. Would you say that is true for your experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I know this is kind of maybe a big question, and if you don't have an answer, that's okay. But I'm curious, like, who is Janet? Like, you're talking about your authentic self, you're talking about your value, your truest self. Like, who is that now?
I know there's so many different ways to try to answer that. I'm in a pretty, I'm going through a period of time where I'm really more stillness than anything. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's more about presence and being aware, being the observer as well. It's less about any descriptor or characteristics. I would say what I want to be, my authentic self, is this person that can every second of the day know their own value and meaning and see their own light and be able to hold that space for others. And I move in and out of that a lot. Mm-hmm. And the rest is, for me, is just experience. It's just to be experienced. Mm-hmm. It's not about how I handle things or when I speak up or how I present myself. These are just experiences to support being more of a conscious energy in the world.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Being stillness, presence, being an observer. And you said I'm just repeating it because I thought it was so lovely. Every second, knowing that I have value, meaning, and light. And then also holding space for that, for others to discover that as well. I feel like that's really powerful. As you think about your journey as a three and your inner work, your journey to getting to these places of stillness and presence, at least that's where you are at this stage of your life. what would you say for other threes who are just starting out, just now beginning to maybe understand their type and understand and see some of their patterns, maybe not all, but seeing a few of them? Any thoughts or words for this person?
Well, I would say the key to all of it is just awareness. And for the three, as I mentioned before, I don't think it's possible without slowing down, because we're mm-hmm. so geared to be efficient and productive. But I think slowing down is pretty important part of the process. I think presence, really embodiment, and really being able to quiet the mind. The three has a think-do loop where they left the heart out of the equation. So I live most mm-hmm. of my life in that think-do loop. And yeah. in order for me to welcome the heart in fully, like, you know, I had to do some work around recognizing my emotions and opening up that space. And then I think the other critical part, and I have used an Enneagram coach that's been critical for me to get honest feedback and have somebody mirror me. But mm-hmm. the healing to me is just an important part of it. And I think that comes with time. You know, once one gets really tired of noticing yet again that I had to be first, or I had to have a significant role in the team, or I had to speak up at just the right moment to make sure everybody noticed me, that with that fatigue mm-hmm. comes the desire to heal. And there's so many modalities for healing today. You can pick any of them and whatever speaks to you. But to me, that's truly where the transformation happens.
Yeah, that's beautiful. As we wrap up here, is there any final words that you would like to say or share? Anything you feel like that's coming up for you now as we begin to wrap up? Or do you feel complete?
I would just say, from my perspective, the more people that, you know, have the strength and stamina to do inner work, the world needs us. And I don't know what mm-hmm. I can't even explain why I say that, but I just hear such a calling for it. You know, I just think this is a great opportunity in space and time.
Absolutely. I'm in full agreement. I believe there's not necessarily a reasoning for it, but I feel that's true as well. So thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you so much for your willingness to be here and let us experience your presence and your groundedness, and sharing with us openly and vulnerably about your patterns and what you've recognized in your life and where you're working. Really, really appreciate you and your time and your perspective.
It was so nice to meet you, Leslie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Okay. Wow. I am really thankful for Janet. And I think our conversation actually went a little different direction than both of us had either anticipated. And what I mean by that is that Janet was just really in a place of inner exploration in our conversation. She was really in a place of stillness and presence, as she described, and really being able to observe herself throughout our conversation. You know, we talked a little bit about that after the recording ended, and we both agreed that there was something synergistically between our energies and the conversation. But what new things did you learn about type threes? Were you able to make any distinctions between the self-preservation type three and maybe some of the stereotypes that you have about threes? What connections did you make between Janet's relationship to the four aspects of emotional intelligence? You know, she talked a lot about being able to understand her heart and all that her heart holds, and having her heart open and really understanding her true self and being able to be an observer of herself. All of these things are really necessary to be able to increase her emotional intelligence. to change her relationship with herself and her understanding of herself, and to change her relationship with others and how she interacted with other people and the compassion she was able to gain for other people and how other people see the world. Have you been enjoying this series or this episode? Or are you a regular listener who enjoys the podcast? If so, would you be willing to share a rating and review on Apple Music, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app? I so often forget to ask for reviews for the show, so I'm really trying to make it a point to remember to do so. I love producing this podcast for you, and knowing that you enjoy it or that it's helpful is so encouraging. So would you be willing to write a review today or maybe in the next day or so? I've never liked the algorithms that are in place at pretty much everything online these days, but ratings and reviews really do help give the show some credibility, and therefore it means it'll be shown to and suggested to more people. So your review would not only encourage me, but it would also really help the right people, people like you and me who are interested in personal growth by understanding their personality type patterns, to find the show. All right, the last thing I'll say about that is thank you so much for considering this. Take care.